are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
God is an excellent God, and He wants you to feel that way. He wants you to know of His loving kindness and His graciousness toward us. And God wants you to have the best of all that He has created. I'm excited about the word for the morning. I want to pray first and then we'll get right there. Join me now as we go together before the throne. Father, thank You for bringing us through another week, for blessing us in the multiple ways in which You have. Thank You for this morning and the worship experience that we have been a part of. Thank You for all that You've done, songs that have been sang, scriptures that have been read, prayers that have been offered. And now we need a word to help us to live. We pray that You would speak the practical truths to us today in such a way that our lives would be changed and our understanding would be increased and our actions that would help us to govern ourselves accordingly will be fulfilled in our lives. Thank You in advance for what You're going to do. Lift now Your human out of self. Fill us again with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us and through us in this moment of sharing. And bless now the words that are in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it all in the name of Your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank all of you for sharing so graciously. We're celebrating Spirit Day. But if you've been around for a little while, you know that we've been in a mini-series that's getting us ready for the main series. The mini-series has been on various aspects of money. We're getting ready to start next week into a study of 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, and we'll get into the actual text exposition on next week. But I wanted to put one more installment in this introduction that we have been dealing with. We have been talking about money, and I think we've been looking more at a biblical survey of what the Bible has to say about it. We've talked about it in three aspects up to this point. We've talked about the morality of money. Money is neither positive nor negative. Money is, but it will be a barometer. It will be a measuring rod to help you to see and others to see whether you're a corrupt person or whether you're a spiritual person. Because what you do with money reveals your morality. And we've gone through the scripture passages to share that with you. And then we said that as a steward, you can't be so in love with money. The love of money is a root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of it. It causes people to do all kinds of things that hurt themselves trying to acquire it. And then last time before I started talking about the acquisition of it, but then a question came up. And the question was, does God want us to have money? Does God want us to have wealth? And then when we looked at the Genesis account, we see the creation and all of this great, wonderful world that God has made, and all of the varieties of sources and foods and plants and just everything that God made here on the earth for us to enjoy it all. Surely He wants you to enjoy it. So the question this morning is going to be twofold that I want to provide the answers for. How do we then acquire money? The acquisition of money is what I'm really going to be focusing on, but I'm still talking about stewardship. And then we're going to look at the use of money as we close our time for the morning. So let me read just a couple verses from the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, just as a means. This morning I'll probably use about 10 or 12 different verses from the Proverbs, but different ones. But today, for your hearing, I want to read from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. And here is what the word says. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. I'm going to add verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. This is the word of God for the people of God. I'm still talking about what is stewardship. This is part four. But the focus this morning, the focus is on the acquisition. How is it that we are to acquire it? Now, I find that very interesting as I meditate on that this week, because I recognize that while we have a mixed audience of television viewers and radio viewers, and this message goes all over the world, that by and large, African Americans feel like they have been shut out of the economic opportunities of America. And in some ways, that might have some relevance, but not really. Because it's not what we have, it's what we do with what we have. And it's how we choose to go about acquiring what we have. I was just amazed recently that the governor of the state wanted to invest huge amounts to build even larger prisons. Because the expectation is, or the implication is, that more and more African Americans are going to participate in activities seeking the acquisition of money, whether it's through robbery or through illegal sales or through whatever it might be, to house them or warehouse them in some place of confinement, when we should be putting more resources in places to help educate people and help people to understand how they can have a part. But if the governor won't, and if the legislator won't, God has. And this is why I'm talking like this, because next week we'll get into the biblical teaching on giving, and I didn't want to come straight at you with teaching on giving. I wanted you to understand something. Giving will make you wealthy, but you got to understand something before you can do it. And that's where I'm going. So since we have not been exposed to the acquisition of money in some of the ways that some other people may have been, I felt it my duty to bless you this morning. So what are the ways in which we can acquire money in a way that God will honor and God will bless? Well, the first I did allude to a couple of weeks ago when I talked about gifts. You can receive a gift. That's the first way. You can receive a gift. Someone can give you some money. Now, many of you should not expect Aunt Haggie to leave you money, because Aunt Haggie didn't have any to leave. And one of the reasons we tear up churches at funerals is because sometimes people have not left anything. And when people come by and they have not been left anything, oh, you come back here. You can't leave like that. Leave me here like that with all of this. Now, you can always tell when somebody has blessed somebody, because they come by and they say, the Lord's will be done. But gifts, it would be wonderful if you had parents, but because generational wealth has been withheld, and from earlier generations, there was not that massive opportunity that is now available for this generation and for the future generations, then we should not necessarily, but if someone does bless you with a gift, then understand that's a way that God has chosen for you to receive whatever it is he wants you to have. Can we agree? But that's not the primary way. The second way would be investments. Investments would be a way. Jesus made it clear in the parable in Matthew 25 when he depicted himself as the traveler going away, and he gave to his servants talents of money. He gave one five, he gave one two, he gave another one. And when he came back, the man that had five said, "Lord, you gave me five talents. I've gone out and doubled it." And the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then the same thing he said to the one with two. But the one that had one said, "Well, I knew you were a mean man, so I didn't do nothing with yours. Here it is, just like you gave me. I put it in the dirt." And the Lord said to him, "You should have taken my money and put it to the exchanges and at least earned interest, so that when I came, I would have received mine with interest." So being able to invest money and to be able to develop interest as a result of it is a legitimate way for you to acquire money. But those two are not the primary ways. The primary way, number one, for earning money is to work. It's unpopular to hear. We would love for somebody to give it to us, and we would love to be able to invest what we receive, but many folk just don't want to work, and that is a problem. It is a problem. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, I'm going to walk you through just a few verses of scripture first to show you what the Bible says. When the Bible was describing how God made the earth, he said, "Six days shall thou labor and do all of your work." And that means that one day, even when God created the world, he worked for 6 days, and the seventh day he did what? He rested. So I guess that's what people are doing today. I don't think so. But it's all right. You should have one day that you devote to the worship of God for his ability and willingness to be so benevolent to you, to give you strength and give you opportunities to go and get wealth, and then through work. But one day he wants himself to be honored and praised and worshiped. And so you need to understand why maybe somebody may not have money. We get there. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28 says, and we talked about don't steal it. And the Bible says in that verse, "He who stole, let him steal no more, but let him work. And let him labor with his hands." Do you realize that when you work, that's God's gift to you? That it blesses you. It keeps you from being lazy. It releases the gifts and talents and abilities that you have. It helps you to feel productive, and it causes you to have a good feeling of self-esteem when you work, when you go and you do what you do. In whatever ways it is, it doesn't matter what the job is. The fact is that if you go and work and you work and you earn, you feel good about it. Somebody knows it's the truth. But most people, let me be clear, who are in financial trouble are in financial trouble because they don't know how and refuse to work. They're waiting on somebody else to give it to them. You know, man, the human man, God made him first, and he was to be the primary breadwinner. And I recognize that many ladies today, God has blessed you in this society, and you are making some good money. God bless you. Thank him for it. You don't have to apologize for it. It's his blessing to you. But the book of Proverbs now, and I chose Proverbs because Proverbs are a series, it's the collection of wisdom that has come to us by way of Solomon. Solomon was wealthy. Solomon was wise. And he wrote the Proverbs to be a series of short phrases that he could teach his sons. And many of them, when I was early in my life learning how to read the Bible, Proverbs was easy for me to read. Because, you know, they were just a lot of comparisons. Comparing wise and foolish, comparing good, comparing bad. But the sections that I've chosen for the morning all deal with money. And so I want to help you see what some of these verses say. First, Proverbs 28 chapter 19th verse says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty." In other words, if you work, you can have something. If you don't work, guess what? You won't have it. Paul, the apostle, weighed in on that same thing as he wrote to the Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he says this, "Even when I was with you," that's when he was with the Thessalonians, he told them, "If any won't work, neither should he eat." So the Bible says, if you don't work, what? You don't eat. And that is really, really a truth that we need to get our hands around. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, a little further, he said, "There are some which walk disorderly among you, not working at all." One of the reasons people like Governor wanted to build more prisons, because you got so many people who are just walking around and they become disorderly because they don't want to. They don't want to work. Now, look at the text for the morning. The text for the morning in Proverbs chapter 6. He uses an illustration here. He says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard." That means you lazy person. "You who won't work, go to the ant and observe her ways and be wise." And he goes on to say, "An ant has nobody, no chief officer that presides over them, or ruler. But this is what that ant does. Prepares their food during the summer and gathers for the harvest to come." Now, you can learn from an ant. Now, you know where that theme Pink Panther came from, that song. You know what he really was saying. He was saying about that ant that was on his foot. Dead ant, dead ant. Dead ant, dead ant, dead ant. But work, my brothers and sisters, is the noblest kind of experience that you can have in your life. I'm thankful that God has given me a longevity in privilege to work. And when you work for the Lord. Whatever you do, regardless of what it is, you do it as unto who? The Lord. The Lord. So the first method that God, the primary method that God has given you to have money or to acquire money is to work. The second method that God says is that we are encouraged to save. Touch somebody and say, save some. Not only working, but saving. And saving is a legitimate method as you think about the future. And Proverbs again, chapter 21, verse 20 says this. "There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up." A foolish person consumes everything they get their hand on. And you and I know folk like that. We know people who, as soon as they get it, I don't care what they get, they ain't going to be satisfied until it's all gone. They're going to spend it, They're going to spend it, and then you ask them, what did they do with it? They can't even tell you. They just know I had it. And then on the way home, have to borrow again from somebody because they know that Miss Ann going to be standing in that doorway. I remember when I was a kid, man, I remember men that was on my street. They would get paid on Friday and would be sloppy drunk. And when they got home, they had nothing to show. And so I want you to understand, a wise man lays aside some of his treasure. But a foolish man spends it all. A wise man understands that a future day is going to come. When you're going to need something. None of us know the future. None of us can predict the future. And you need to be able to be prepared. And the national statistics tell you, in every 5-year period of time, there is going to be some type of emergency that's going to come up. And when you have something put aside, you don't even feel the emergency. When it comes up, you have something, you deal with the emergency, and you go on. But people who have a refrigerator go out, car go down, anything go bad, then they start pulling their hair out of their head. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh. Learn to save. You need to save for the unexpected times in the future. And you can also endeavor to put some money. Now, what I don't want you to do is to become so miserly that you're trying to pinch every penny and squeezing every dollar so tight and trying to oversave that you deny yourself the opportunity to even enjoy your life. Are you hearing me this morning? I know this might not sound like a sermon. This might not make you crawl under the pew. May not make you pull your wig off. May not make you slap nobody. But this one's going to be one that you're going to need to listen to again. The third method that God has put in place through the word of God, not only work and not only saving, but what I call, this would be a catch-all, is called planning. You need to have a plan for your life. Some people need to be on a budget. That's a spending plan. Or if a budget is too tight for you, then you need to at least set a set of priorities in your life, or things that you are after, or things that you are going to try to accomplish. But you need to have your steps ordered. And unfortunately, there are some people that don't have no budget. They don't have no priorities. They don't have no plan of spending. They just get it and they just do it. And as a result, they have nothing. Okay? And what I'm saying is you need to have control of your life. You can control it. You really can. But there are so many folk, man, that are like a drunk sailor on leave. As soon as they got it, they hit town and that's it. They're going to throw it all away. But here's what the words say. Proverbs 27, verses 23 and 24. Know well the condition of your flocks. Pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever. Listen, you're not going to have the strength to work all of the time. One day, you're going to come to a close of your work time. One day, you're going to get old. And let me just say this to all of the beautiful young ladies out here who's making all that money. Listen, you can come into one of these female problems and you can get sick and you can't go to work, so you ought to save some of it for another day. Now, you know, and I know how hard it is to save in this society, because I said to you a couple of weeks ago that television is on you about your money. You think television is there for the program. No, television is there for the commercials. Amen. And the commercials are designed to try to separate you from your money. And I want you to understand that this issue is so important God wants you to enjoy this world. It's a beautiful world. You need to be able to travel sometime. Go see some of these places. Go see the ocean. Go see the mountain. Go see the snow. Go see your cousin them that you haven't seen in forever. But you can't do that if you don't have anything saved up. And so you need to understand that God has put it here and God wants you to enjoy it. But you know the problem is we got so out of control with our lives. And now the new man is called debt. And there is a new form of slavery for African-American people. Not just for African-American, but people, period, all over this world. Debt! I'm serious, man. I mean, do you realize that people are so used to putting things on credit cards now. And now they've made it even easier, debit cards. And they asked one lady, said, "What are you doing? Why did you overdraw your checking account?" She said, "How in the world did I overdraw my checking account when I still got all these checks left?" You understand? You can't go crazy. But they are counting on you to do it. They want you to do it because the statistics are against you. Even people, now they're saying that most Americans carry 9 credit cards and carry large balances on those credit cards. And they know that once that you've gotten over $800 on your credit card, and you're not the kind of person who pay it off each month, they got you for life. And sometimes 17-18% interest or more. And if you go to a payday loan, you're talking about 38-40%. And you are drowning. And that's another form of slavery. And that's what I'm speaking to. Young people, hear me, because they start on you early. They catch you in college. And they drop a credit card on you and tell you, "Oh, you can get this card without your parents' signature," and you get that card and you start spending and you can't pay because you're not working and you haven't saved and you certainly hadn't planned. And so I want to help you understand that you got to be careful here. You got to be careful even in lending money. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It's not that you want to be unkind to people, but you just got to understand you can't let somebody else control your life. If you got gifts that you want to give, then give them. And don't be mad with the person because they couldn't or didn't pay you back. So stay out of that and stay out of co-signing. And my day, people used to do that all the time. I saw a big fight in the bank one day. Big fight. 2 old men. And when they got to the deal to separate the men to find out what happened, the first man said, "I was just at the window and I was signing my check." And the other man said, "Well, I had to hit him because he signed my name." Well, it wasn't his name. They both put X on the line. I know that. You know, you have children, you have to help your children. Anybody know you have to help your children? That's one kind of thing, because when they were young, they cost you. You had to buy them clothes, you had to buy them bicycles. When they get old, you got to buy them cars, and you got to help them with the down payment on the house. But that's all right, that's family. But outside of family, you got to be careful. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Proverbs 1, in the 17th chapter of Proverbs, verse 18, that's poor judgment. It's poor judgment to countersign your neighbor's note and thus become responsible for his debt. You cannot let other people mess you up. So you got enough trouble on your own. You got to understand some things. But God wants you to have it. God wants you to enjoy wealth. God wants you to enjoy all that he has. And I hear you. Sometime maybe you have to ask yourself some tough questions because you're saying, I don't have all of this and I don't have all of that like you were saying. Well, you got to ask yourself, do you really need more? Or is it that you just want more because you're trying to enhance your lifestyle? You need to ask yourself, or maybe I need to ask yourself, is it really a need? Or are you being limited right now because God may be testing you? Or you have to ask yourself, have I wasted what the Lord has already given me? Because, or have I misused what I was supposed to have used in right ways? And then you might ask yourself, or have someone ask you, have I violated biblical principles for financial growth? Because the truth is, God wants you to have it. I spent all of last Sunday talking about that and showing you all of the variety, all of the things that God has put on the earth. And he didn't put it all on the moon. He put it on the earth. He put you here on the earth. Everything you should have and everything you need is right here. But you said, but Pastor, I don't have it. Well, there are some reasons. Can I give that to you? Biblical reasons why you don't have money and why you don't have wealth. Number one, could be that you're stingy. Stinginess. That is, you haven't given enough of it away. You have to give to get. Let me, you don't believe what I'm talking about. Proverbs 11th chapter now, verse 24. He uses an agrarian metaphor there. In 11th verse, the 24th verse there, he says, there is one who scatters yet increases all the more. Here's the picture. The picture is of a farmer who invests all of his money into seed. And he buys all of his seed and he goes out and he scatters it and he scatters it and he scatters it and he scatters it. And when the harvest comes, he has more because he got stuff over here that came up and stuff over here that came up, stuff over here that came up and stuff over here that came up. In other words, listen, when you scatter seed, God repays you. But if you don't scatter no seed, then there is no harvest that's coming. You know, you don't have to give it all to people who playing slick on you there by the interstate. That's not what I'm talking about. But you sometimes see people who truly have need. And sometimes there's the ongoing work, but all of the money that you give has nothing to do with church or nothing to do with Christianity. Sometimes God just wants you to be a blessing to somebody. But when you're stingy and you don't want to do that, see, you forget that God says give. Jesus said that, didn't he? Give and it shall be given to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. If you give, God will have somebody who will bless you. Man, I'm just amazed sometimes at just the ways in which God does it. He just turns around and he just blesses over and over. And I can't figure it out to save my life. That come from giving years ago. I walked into a nursing home to visit one day, a church member, and it was a lady and her husband was sitting there. And she said, oh, yeah, I know who you are. You Pastor Wesley. I remember coming to you one time. I didn't know that lady from Adam's House Cat. And she said, but you blessed me. You hoped me. That's what she said. And she said, I'll never forget it. Now, she might not have been one to return anything to me personally, but God brought somebody else from around the corner who did. When God gives, he doesn't dribble it out. He doesn't squeeze like it hurt. God, no, he presses it down. See, you know, you remember when you were a kid, you used to go get the Cracker Jacks and you know, you shake the box and all of the stuff go to the bottom of the box and you have to go down in there looking for the Cracker Jacks. That's not how God does. God pushes it down, and then he pushes it down. And he pushes it down and it just dribbles over the top, just dribbles over the top, because he's a gracious God. He's a powerful God. Well, you got to be careful now. Don't be the kind of person that rob yourself of the goodness because you're stingy. The second reason people don't have money, or people who don't have money, is called hastiness. People get in such a hurry, or what I would call impulsive. They just buy stuff just to buy it. They see it and they buy it. And they better not put something on TV called sale or in a catalog. That's an immediate hook. Oh, girl, they didn't put it on sale. We got to have it. And you don't even realize that they are playing on your impulse. There are strategists. Listen, I've written books. I've been in marketing meetings with some of the great ones. And they talk about the impulsive buyers. And people are waiting on you with the impulsive buyers. Already the stores are lined up with Christmas stuff. And today is Halloween. And they're already ready for you with your Christmas stuff. And so you got to understand hastiness. You need to have a strategy for buying. I try not to buy stuff the first time I think I want it. I really do. I try to go ahead and shop. Let me see if I see it somewhere else. See if I can find it for a different price or a better price. Is this a fair price? At least talk about it at home. Pray about it. Whatever I'm going to do. But not just at the moment. You know, I know these ladies said, please, Pastor, come off my toes now. Well, there's a third reason that people don't have money and don't have the money that they would like to have in their life. Not only people who are stingy and people who are impulsive or hasty, but then thirdly, what I would call people who have a lack of discipline, or people who are stubborn. They've just been in bound. I'm going to live my life my way, and I don't care what you say. They are in debt. They know they're in debt, and they go out and get in even more debt because they just don't have any control. I saw it. I want it. I don't have the money for it. They gave me this credit card. So now we're playing credit card games. We'll get a new credit card so we can pay off the other credit card with the other credit card, who now got 3 times more interest on it than the first one. And you can never get out of debt. There are people who keep getting themselves deeper and deeper in debt because they have no self-control. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it from anyone who says to them by way of warning. And may I help you understand, the deeper in debt you go, the unhappier your home becomes. That's what causes people to clash. And that's what causes trouble and trials and things like that. Because one person doesn't have control and they want to buy it all. They want to spend it all. The other person is going out working, trying to get it so that something can be there. And it becomes a problem. But let me move quickly because I got a ways to go. Let me take you to number four. Number four reason people don't have money, as we alluded to it earlier, is called laziness. Again, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. Do not love to sleep lest you become poor. You know, so the first key to being successful is to get up. Get out of that bed. And the earlier you get up, the better. The early bird still gets the worm. But folk who lay around all day, I don't feel like I ain't going today. You know, I mean, man, I know there are times when you need to rest. 6 days shall you labor. But goodness gracious, there are lazy people. And I know we talk about homeless people, and we got them all over Birmingham. We got them all over the country. We got them all over everywhere. But the vast majority of people who end up homeless are people who are lazy, people who don't want to work. Now, I understand there are some people who have ran into some tough situations and have caused their circumstances to fall apart. But the vast majority are folk who just don't want to do it and don't want to go nowhere. And they don't want to work. And consequently, the Bible said, if you don't work, drowsiness will clothe a man in rags. And so when you see people in rags, it's because they wanted to sleep all the time, didn't want to work, didn't want to do anything. And especially when you look at the landscape of the African-American community. Now, I'm sorry now. I'm not hard on you. I just need to help you understand that we want to walk around Harry Hippie, lies asleep in the shade. Life don't bug him because he think he got it made. And he got a woman, Mary Hippie. She don't want to work nowhere either. And consequently, they want other folk to do it. And therefore, they are in poverty. And lastly, from this standpoint, of what I want to give you is number six here, is indulgence. Now listen to what the Proverbs say. The heavy drinker and the gluttoner will come to poverty. Now, you put laziness with heavy drinking and alcoholism or drug use or drug abuse, and you got a mess. And I promise you, when you look around, that's what you see. When people are drunk, they can't keep up with their money. They don't know where they put it. They don't know what they did with it. Or when they're on drugs and they're abusing drugs like that, and then they can't go to work or don't go to work. Consequently, poverty will come. And then we look around. See, well, I grew up, I was in the 50s and the 60s growing up. And, you know, people used to always say, the man won't let me up. The man won't let me. The man got his foot on my neck. The man now is debt and laziness and gluttony and these kinds of characteristics. In this society in which we live in, if you work, if you go to school, if you earn what you need to earn, there is no reason why you cannot have a reasonable portion of wealth for yourself and for your family to enjoy. But the problem is these bad behaviors that have got to be eliminated from our lives. And see, you hadn't had wealth coaches. So God gave us one, Solomon, who was the wealthiest man and the wisest man, to drop into our spirit these nuggets of truth. And it's up to us to be able to accept these and to be able to apply these to truth. So let me give you one more. I thought about it, man. One more reason people come to poverty is because of what's called craftiness. And craftiness might not be the best word for our understanding. For us, it would be the schemer. You always got schemers. The get rich quick schemers. They always got some idea that they don't want to work hard for, but looking for a quick way to get it and be done with it. And you've been approached, you know, I don't want to say it's you, but look at this. Proverbs 28 verse 19 says, he who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. You know what they say about what the statistics and scientists say about people who are schemers? They really say they are really brilliant people. And if they would spend half of the time working a job, they would make twice as much than the time that they waste trying to get over. And these are character traits, y'all, that have to be eliminated from our life. So let me quickly since we've talked about over these past 4 weeks, and it's the last week on this now, we've talked about the morality of money. We've talked about the love of money. We've talked about God wants you to have the money. And today we've been talking about acquiring money. Now, let me talk about what to do with it, how you use money. Very quickly, I got to go, but I got to tell you, number one, you need to take care of your own needs and the needs of your household. That's the first thing you ought to do with your money, because the Bible said, listen, if a man doesn't take care of his household, he is less than an infidel. He has denied the faith. And we've already said, if you don't eat, you don't work, you don't eat. So the first money that you get is supposed to help you take care of where you live. Man, I used to get mad with my daddy when I was a young boy because he was standing at the door. I'm 10 years old, 12 years old. I come from working on the vegetable truck. And he's standing at the door, boy, give your mama some of that money. And she would be trying to defend me. Oh, Henry, that boy don't have nothing. But he knew what he was doing. He was teaching me work and responsibility of taking care of where I live. The second thing that you need to do with your money, here it is, pay your debts. Pay your bills. It amazes me how many people would want money, but they don't want to pay their bills. Or they would take the money that's designed to pay their bills and do something else with it. Listen, yesterday was a beautiful example. The Classic in Birmingham caused a bunch of people to take bill money and get a new do. Or to cause them to take bill money and get an outfit so that they could show out at the Classic. And today, nobody even remembers what you wore. And sometimes it may mean you have to liquidate some things to pay your bills. Elisha the prophet told that widow woman that. He told her in 2 Kings. He told her, listen, baby, listen, I'm gonna give you some oil here, but you take that oil and you sell it so that you can pay your debtors. And that's our problem today. We don't want to pay the debts that we owe. The Bible teaches, owe no man except to love. Now, there are some things you need to buy over time, like cars and houses and some things like that. But come on, lay off the credit cards. Eliminate the debt. Pay the debt that you owe. Pay the people. Don't have folk looking for you, making your name bad. All of those kinds of things like that. After that, what are you to do with money? You're to save some of it. We went over savings in detail, so I won't revisit that. But take care of your household. Look at the order. Take care of your household. Number two, pay your debts, pay your bills. Number three, put some aside. And then number four, you're ready to give. But I'm not asking you, I wouldn't even want you to give in the church if you're taking bill money and doing that. God doesn't want that. God wants your life to be ordered. And when you do it his way, he will make sure that you always have more than enough. Listen, man, I'm trying to tell you, that's not our problem. Our problem is us and our willingness to fall into these bad characteristics and these bad behaviors when the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein all belong to God. The cattle on a thousand hill belong to God. So let me give you a quick assignment for next week and then I'm done. And time is already up. Just four quick things that I want to tell you to do for next week. And from here on, transfer the ownership of your money to God. It's already his. Then secondly, I want you to make it your goal and your purpose to begin to live your life in such a way to advance the kingdom of God. Have a kingdom agenda. I want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Be that kind of person. Thirdly, I want you to be open to the Lord's direction. You know, I was talking to a pastor last week, and he said, Pastor, I'm at a very difficult place in my life. And I reminded him of the verse that I read in Isaiah chapter 30, where the Bible said there will be a voice behind you telling you which way to go. When you hear that voice, turn to the left if he says go left, or turn to the right if he says go right. You have to be willing to be directed by the Lord. And then lastly, you need to understand that whatever you give, when you give to the poor, when you give to the church, you're investing in the kingdom for all eternity. That's the old saying that says you can't take it with you. Yes, you can. When you invest it right, it'll be laid up for you forever and ever and ever. And so, my brothers and sisters, go to the ant, you sluggard, and look at the smallest little creature, one of the things that God has put on earth, and see how he orders his life. He works, he saves, he plans, and as a result, he has plenty. The question is, what about you? What about you? You live in the richest society ever in America, and you have the opportunity to have generational wealth started and passed on to the families that you're now part of. Don't be lazy. Don't be foolish. Don't be stingy. Don't be hasty. Don't be lazy. Don't be out of control. And don't be the kind of person who's indulgent, just over drowning yourself in all kinds of stuff that's destructive. Instead, give yourself to the Lord and let the Lord bless your life. Is there anybody here, just one person, who can say the Lord will bless you? Won't he bless you? Won't he bless you? Won't he bless you? He'll pick you up. He'll turn you around. He'll brush you off. He'll stand you up. He'll make you a man. He'll make you a woman. He'll bless you over and over and over and over and over and over. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Doors of the church open. Doors of the church open. Doors open. Doors of the church open. If there be one today who will come today by letter, Christian Experience candidate for baptism, doors open. Next week we're going to unfold the text and we'll get back to where I like, where I can really preach. But I needed to teach on those things to give you an opportunity. While we sing, the doors open. Beautiful little songs. I love the Lord. He heard my cry, pitied my every groan. As long as I live, trouble rise. I'll get in a hurry. I'll hasten to his throne.
I love the, yeah, the Lord. Yeah. Yes. He heard my cry. I live.
From the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org. For an uplifting message, please join us for the next broadcast.